that's why I need a one dance.
We are live from Nathan Phillips Square, downtown Toronto, a special edition of Overdrive with Ryan Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan, and the O-Dog Jeff O'Neill here on TSN 1050 in Toronto on the TSN app and up on TSN1050.ca, brought to you in part by Access Storage. And we've been down here on the air for an hour. We've all been down here for a couple of hours. We predicted this at 10 a.m. If you're familiar with City Hall and Nathan Phillips Square, we're on the south end of the square. We're down towards Queen Street looking north. The stage is right by the kind of oval buildings or the half moon buildings. And then you've got arches right by where the rink is. Now, they've covered up the rink clearly with boards so people can stand over it. But there are three arches. And at around 10:05, we wondered, is some lunatic going to try to climb
up on them? And sure enough, it has happened.
It's 11 a.m. and someone is up there. And I got to believe he's just going to be up there for the whole day now.
Well, it's almost a situation, Brian. They almost got to get him down because he's putting everyone else in danger underneath him.
Absolutely. If he falls,
he's going to hurt somebody.
Yeah.
He could kill somebody.
Including himself.
Exactly.
Like, he's up there. It's typical 2019. He's taking selfies of himself.
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude.
The question is, how the hell do you get him down?
Well, you're not going to send a cop up there. They're not going to be able to get up. And you can't, it's so loud down here, you couldn't yell at the guy if you wanted to.
No.
So, basically, I think he's just up there until he wants to come down. I don't know how the hell he climbed up there. Spider-Man.
Oh, somebody out, now they're all doing it.
Oh, now everyone's going to try to get up there, yeah. This could be a bit of a problem.
Yeah, no kidding.
They're my understanding is, like, the team, they're trying to get out of the exhibition.
Dude, they're going to be here at 8 o'clock p.m.
They can't get through.
No.
The crowds are too crazy down on the lakeshore. Down by the X, and it sounds like they're already way behind schedule because they can't even get all the parade floats out. They can't get out of the X, let alone get up the lakeshore and up University Avenue and get up here to City Hall. So I don't know.
I thought that as soon as I started watching that. They're not even moving.
No, they're not moving.
No.
I don't think they're out of the exhibition grounds.
No, they're not. And I'm telling you, they're not going to get here until 4 or 5 at night.
We might be doing Overdrive live at 4
from
right here.
Yeah.
Right here, because I think
by the way, is that an option to do it from here?
Well,
what the hell's the sense of leaving?
Exactly. We were going to head down to Richmond and do the show down there, but I don't know if there's a point in that. If they don't get up here till 3 o'clock or 3:30, there won't be a point, because I think the plan was for the team to arrive here probably around 12:30.
Dude, no
not
way.
Not even close. Unless they start putting a pedal to the metal and they drive these parade floats at like 40 kilometers an hour. They're not going to make it here on time.
No. So we don't have to say go Raptors. We're going to say we went Raptors.
Yeah, we got to play that Brett Hall.
We went Blues. Give it to me from the top, please.
Yeah, let's play the whole thing. Let's restart it. I think we got to start every hour because the hope is and the anticipation is the Raptors are going to have their own personal Brett Hall moment whenever they finally get to City Hall. So let's kind of refresh your memory here in terms of what kind of display Brett Hall put on over the weekend at St. Louis. And we need it. We are craving this to be replicated this afternoon.
Stanley Cup for this city. There is nothing more they have to do. So instead of saying, let's go Blues, we're going to say, we went Blues.
Yeah, that has to happen later this afternoon. Like, there's just no dancing around it. We need our own Brett Hall moment here in Toronto. And I feel pretty good about that happening. We just don't know exactly when they're going to get on stage because it is now 11:05. The hope was they'd be here by 12:30, but they can't even get out of the X. There's so many people down on the lakeshore. So I don't know when this parade is really going to get hyped up here at Nathan Phillips Square, but we're going to be live here all afternoon. Again, special Overdrive edition of the NBA Championship Parade brought to you in part by Kelsey and Associates. There are a ton of panels set up. Duffy's up there with Lisa LaFlamme. We've got Rod the Bod Black is here with Leo and Jack and Sam Mitchell. And there's a reporters panel with our boy Josh Lewenberg, Bruce Arthur from the Toronto Star, Dave Festruck from the Star, and Steve Simmons from the Toronto Sun. And they were discussing the crowds down here, what this whole vibe is like, and what the whole journey was all about. Let's hear that clip, courtesy of the TSN reporters.
This is what it feels like to be part of a championship, to be in a city of champions today. Your reaction to what you've been seeing, there are people body to body, wall to wall. It is absolute insanity down here.
It's a phenomenal experience to be here. Surreal, goosebumps. It's just wonderful. I guess the one word I would use, fellas, is joy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of joy here this morning. People are just so fired up and enthusiastic and in love with the Toronto Raptors and in love with the sport of basketball.
Guys, when I got here many, many years ago and you would ride throughout the neighborhoods, you would see a hoop occasionally in somebody's driveway.
Yep.
And then as the years progressed and as this team started winning and that momentum started building, Leo, you started seeing more hoops. And now all of a sudden, you see hoops everywhere when you drive out in the suburbs throughout Toronto. And this, it just caps it out, man. The Raptors win the NBA championship. And I know for you and Rod and Jack, who's been with this team from day one, it's got to be an unreal feeling.
It is. It's absolutely phenomenal. And we're sitting here, it's a sea of humanity. Everywhere you look,
yeah.
It's just people and the energy in the city.
I want to go body surfing.
there's a certain air in the air here. It's a certain smell that we also hear. You might want to say it's weed of the north as well here a little bit.
How about that MVP trophy there? Kawhi Leonard, chatting with
he's got the MVP
assistant
trophy.
Coach Phil Handy.
He's there got the cigar going, yeah. Too, the victory cigar.
Yeah, they've got it all. There is, hey, what's that Drake song, Running Through the Six with My Woes? How about Running Through the Six with the Larry O'Brien trophy?
L.O.B. in the house.
Oh, my goodness.
I like that other side. You see that sign earlier? It said, Board Man Gets Parade.
Yeah. Board Man like Gets that. Parade.
This is taking me back to my college days with the atmosphere and the wee the north.
Yes,
you know, it's interesting you talk about college. I mean, I thought Drake said this really well a few weeks ago. There's no question that the Toronto Raptors have the most collegiate fan base in the NBA. Oh, yeah.
And the most creative based on their signs.
This is like, it's like Alabama football here.
It's
like
basketball.
They travel well. Man, remember Golden State, the fans singing in the stands. And Jack, how many times did we see that on the road this season?
Yeah.
Incredible.
You see it and you hear it a lot. You go to Detroit, they're chanting. Everything's coming up on
Portland.
The big screens. You know, you go back to day one when the Raptors, you know, were first conceived. John Bitov Jr., the owner of the team, Isaiah Thomas, the general manager, they envisioned this type of atmosphere. That's what they envisioned when they built the arena, as a matter of fact. They wanted some sort of open-air arena that the fans could watch. Who knew it would become Jurassic Park?
And, you know, you think about it, the impact it's made across the world when people see the support that Toronto Raptors get. The other 29 teams in the NBA, there ain't nothing like that.
And the thing that's amazing to me is Toronto is an international city, and the way Masai has constructed this roster, it has a little bit of everyone. It's an international feel, so that way everybody feels a part of this team because it's somebody from somewhere in Europe or somewhere or Africa that you can identify with. And Leo, you know that when you can identify with your team, it really becomes your team.
But name me a more diverse and multicultural city than Toronto.
So let's go.
Or
we have
a country.
Players from Africa.
Yeah, Africa.
We got players
Spain.
From Spain.
It's
just everywhere.
And your coaches from Canada, Jamal
yes.
McGlure, Jamal Leila. I mean, what's amazing is that the NBA is global. Toronto are global.
Absolutely.
So it's a perfect game. It's a perfect game for this country.
So that was Rod Black, Jack Armstrong, Leo Routens, and our main man, Sam Mitchell.
You are sunglass guy.
Oh, I've got the glasses on. I'm trying to hide my anxiety because there's a second guy up on one of these.
I can't watch it anymore. If something happens here and this guy, one of these guys go down, it's a mess.
Yeah, it really is. It's a problem down here because there are the three arches, and two of them are currently occupied by guys who are standing or sitting on top of them. I have no idea how they're getting down, when they're getting down. But anyway, we are live again from Nathan Phillips Square. And this championship parade coverage is brought to you in part by Peak Health Ontario. We're going to call up our friend Kayla Gray here in a moment. Kayla is on one of the player floats. And my understanding is they've just gotten out of the Princess Gates down at Exhibition Stadium.
They should get cooking now. I mean, there's no, like, they control how fast they're going.
Yeah, there's no one allowed on the streets, you know. So you would think once they're through the gates down there, they can find a way to pick up the pace a little bit. But you never know if guys are getting out of the cars or whatever.
Here we go again. This
they're
is
all
ridiculous.
Heading up to these arches now. All right, let's head to one of the player floats. Here's our good friend, our TSN reporter, Kayla Gray. What's it like on the float, Kayla?
What's good, guys? We literally have been held up for like an hour. We haven't even made it to the official start of the parade. We just got past the Princess Gate. They were not expecting the amount of fans to be greeting the Raptors right outside of OVO Athletic Center. So if you can believe it, we are just getting past the official start of the parade. And the parade was supposed to start at like, what, 9, 10 o'clock? I'm already smelling like champagne, Danny spraying champagne, and I am doused in it right now. So, it's that kind of Monday for me.
Yeah, well, I hope you're embracing it. I mean, this is clearly a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And, I mean, it's incredible down here at Nathan Phillips Square. There are so many people that are down here. Yet, can you paint a picture for us down at the X? I mean, how many people are we talking that are down at the starting line?
Our country really has come together. And not even just in touch. I was talking to Fred Van Fleet about Rockport Jurassic Park and their support of him as, you know, an Illinois boy. But just the growth of basketball, just to see what this is going to do for this country. I mean, you guys already know, you've talked in length about the stars that we have, the stars that are on the scene and RJ Barrett. But my goodness, now that the world is paying attention, you can only imagine where things are going to go.
Well, enjoy it down there. We'll
see you in 7 hours.
Yeah, we'll see you when you get to City Hall.
I need to send me a shirt. Please send me a new shirt.
We'll make sure to get one through the crowd, through the 1.5 million people. Get Kayla Gray a new shirt. Enjoy it, Kayla. Thank you for this.
Bye, guys.
All right, there's Kayla Gray from TSN, who, again, is on a player's float downtown. And she said they just got through the Princess Gate. They were hoping to get through there about an hour ago.
This is total irony now, too. This guy's looking to get down, begging for help on how to get down from this stupid thing.
Oh, yeah, these three arches down at Nathan Phillips Square. These guys, they love getting up. They have no idea how to get down. But Kayla, again, saying there are just so many people. You can barely hear her. You know, I can't imagine what that would be like, being one of the players on the parade float, just having all these people yelling and screaming nonstop. And she just said it, the champagne is out on the parade float, so the boys are getting after it. And if it takes them another 2 hours minimum to get up here, although, like you said, it is on them to dictate the pace they want to go on.
Someone's got to say, we got to pick up the pace here, and away they go.
But the fact of the matter is, here at Nathan Phillips Square, no one's leaving. No one's going to move.
This guy right here, sweaty back, is just... Well,
you know what? One of these guys are going to go down. That's what concerns me.
Yeah, now it's become a hit thing. I know we're giving live play-by-play of people climbing arches, but that's essentially what the whole crowd is looking at.
There's a hipster in jeans with a sweaty ass that's crawling up it right now, and he has zero athletic ability. He's going down.
Yeah, he's got all those shoes on, no soles. There's no way that guy gets down.
No.
And
I can't even look at it.
We got to stop talking about it because it's going to just consume us here, all these guys who are trying to climb up these arches to get pictures. I'm surprised the security hasn't stepped in, but, I mean, let's be honest, the security's got a lot more to worry about on their plates here. There's so many people downtown. I want to give a shout-out because we've been taking run after run at Mother Nature for the past 2 or 3 months. Thank you for showing up in the clutch today. It is a beautiful day downtown.
How crabby would have you been if this was rain?
Oh, I'd be furious. I was expecting rain. I just assumed it would rain or it would be cold.
There's even a little breeze in the air. You can't ask for a better day.
It's perfect.
Perfect suit weather for the boys.
It is.
suits and sunglasses.
Although the guy on the arch has a lather going, everyone else seems to be very comfortable.
Yeah, this guy.
I can't even.
They're all walking up these arches down at Nathan Phillips Square. There's no way this guy's getting up.
No. Well, he's got wrestling shoes on.
Yeah, it is getting ridiculous. He's got a sweatshirt tied
around. I can't look.
All right, anyway, we're live at Nathan Phillips Square. We're going to have a bunch of people join us around the table throughout the afternoon. And this live coverage of the championship parade, brought to you in part by Peak Health Ontario, continues. Live from Nathan Phillips Square, Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, a special championship version of Overdrive continues from City Hall.
Tough shot, Kyle Lowry, six-point Raptor lead.
To be able to say I'm a world champion, it makes me feel great.
Van Vliet, front court, shoots and hits another one.
We're NBA champions, so that makes you a super team. I'll take it.
It's Kawhi Leonard tracking it down.
It's just so surreal to me still. People don't even know.
Nice work, gentlemen.
The Raptors win their first NBA championship.
And you heard it all on TSN 1050. The world champion Raptors live here.
All right, we are live from Nathan Phillips Square, downtown Toronto, at the championship parade, brought to you in part by Access Storage. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. There are tens of thousands of people down here at City Hall, and there are thousands and thousands of people lined up between here and Exhibition Stadium. And the parade, as of now, is well behind schedule because they couldn't get the parade floats out of the gates, the Princess Gates down at the X, because there were so many people lined up. So there's so many people further downtown, and we can look behind us down Queen. Like, it is row on row on row, and we're at the finish line here. So we can't even get a viewpoint of down the lakeshore, up York Street, up University, how it's going to play out. But I can tell you this, at Nathan Phillips Square, there's so many people here that are so jacked up. Once the players and the team finally show up, this place is going to explode. And we are joined now around the table with our TSN Raptors reporter, Josh Lewenberg.
Logistically, this could use some work. They'll get it right for the next parade, though.
You think so?
In 26 years, this...
It's been a while. Yeah, I don't... Like, we talked about that as well, where else you could put it. Realistically, you could have put it down at the X, you know, with all of the open space down there and all the parking lots that are available down there. Some people suggested up at Downsview Park, where you could fit in easily a million people and you wouldn't even flinch. I guess it's more about how you get there. So many people are taking public transit to get down here. To walk to the X is a little bit more difficult. To get up to Downsview, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, well, if the vehicles were starting here and going at the rate they're going now and had to get to Downsview, we'd be there for a week.
Oh, they wouldn't get there today. The parade, it would be the first 24-hour parade in sports history. It would take course over 2 days.
People would get tired.
You know what? You can't complain about it.
It's incredible.
You soak it up. Exactly. Soak it up. I'm sure there are going to be hiccups. I'm sure there's going to be things that you'd probably, in hindsight, like to change or do. But
it's a nice problem to have, having someone like, oh, we didn't anticipate this in the parade that we didn't think would ever happen.
We just ran through. Great weather. Actually, perfect weather.
Yeah.
Little breeze. For the most part, it seems like everyone's fun-loving. There, hasn't no stories of any scraps or any type of stuff like that, Peaceful celebration. Nothing wrong with that.
No, it's been great so far. Like, again, there's going to be... What you might get down here is some unrest because people have been here since, 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And if they don't actually get here until 2 o'clock or whatever it is, you're talking 8-9 hours where I think a lot of people have found a way to dance around the rules of drinking in public. And we all know what's now legal in the country, and you can smell it down here. People are having a pretty good time. It's not overly hot. It's perfect weather. It really is. Because if it was 30 degrees plus, you'd be talking about people passing out in these type of crowds.
And we're here in our suits. No, I mean, it's perfect. You didn't want rain, obviously. You didn't want it to be too hot. Sun has come out now. It was cloudy earlier, but it's beautiful.
Josh Lewenberg, our TSN Raptors reporter. So
please help me welcome to the stage.
What's the next chapter? Like, as a reporter, what are you writing next? Where do you take it from here, post-parade?
post-parade, it's got to be Kawhi, right? And I mean, even that started a little bit yesterday. Fred, I thought, was excellent. He usually is when we asked him about, okay, well, what's the sales pitch here to your teammate? Do you make one? And he said what I think a lot of us are thinking, in that the Raptors, as a team, as a franchise, as an organization, as teammates, have done everything they can do. Like, what else? I mean, they promised to take care of him physically, and they did. They promised to win here, and they did. They can offer him more money than anybody else. Obviously, the city, the country, the fan base adores the guy. So that's what these next few weeks are going to be about. I mean, obviously, for the Raptors, the recruitment process started a lot earlier. It started the second they made that trade, and they've been subtly recruiting him for the last 9, 10, 11 months. But now this is the home stretch. They celebrate today, and then it's back to business. They've got to figure out a way to keep this guy. So this parade that we're watching today isn't a one-off, isn't something that we have to wait another 20-plus years to see.
Yeah, I think that has – I mean, nobody's disappointed, clearly, because you finally got to experience a championship run. If you're a Raptor fan, you've been waiting for them to win 16 games in the spring for 24 years. But – what has been halted is the ability to debate back-to-back.
Yeah.
Because it really comes down to Kawhi. And I am intrigued to see who's willing to say that on the stage today. Because I could see Lowry coming out and being like, we're going back-to-back. But I think everyone's going to be like, okay, do you know that Kawhi's returning? Because if Kawhi is not returning, the idea of going back-to-back clearly changes significantly.
What is the timeline on that type of those transactions? Like, I mean, when does...
We're probably talking 2 weeks. I mean, I don't know if
June 30th.
Yeah. I don't know if he'll do it. Yeah. I guess they can sign him at any point, but in terms of he might extend it beyond July 1st, I mean, do you think that, in other words, if it goes to July 1 and he officially becomes a free agent, that is him telling the Raptors, okay, I'm going to see where my options are here?
I don't know. I mean, we know so little about Kawhi, even after all this time of getting to know him. We know so little about him. We definitely know very little in terms of what he'll be like on the open market. Like, to me, he doesn't seem like the type of guy that's going to be going around and doing the tour and taking all these meetings. Like, I think if he doesn't know where he's going to go, he has a pretty good idea of where he's going to end up, and I think we do too. It's either going to be the Clippers or it's going to be the Raptors. So I don't think it's going to take him very long. This, to me, doesn't seem like the type of thing that's going to bleed into July. He can begin negotiating or talking with teams and his representatives at 6 p.m., I believe, now on June 30th. They bumped that up by 6 hours, which is great. We don't have to wait until midnight. I would be very surprised if we didn't know what his plans were by first couple days of July.
With Josh Lumberg, a Raptors reporter, we are live at Nathan Phillips Square ahead of the Toronto Raptors 2019 Championship Parade, brought to you in part by Kalsi and Associates.
Don't you think Masai at least has to have an inkling? You know, like Kawhi can't just hold the whole organization hostage. Like, he might have to give Masai just a little wink here or there, like, I'm leaning this way or leaning, because Masai has to shape a team still. Like, he has to still move forward business as usual.
From the conversations I've had, I truly believe the organization has no idea whether or not he's going to stay or go. I think they're very confident, and I wrote that 2 months ago, and I've spoken to people since, and they've become increasingly confident, even since I wrote that they were increasingly confident,
right,
because of all those things that we talked about. I mean, they've controlled everything they can control. They've made the best possible sales pitch that they can make over the course of a season.
Right.
But I don't think they know. I don't think they have any idea what his decision is going to be or where he's leaning. I mean, he's got – you don't want to play poker with Kawhi Leonard, I'll tell you that. The guy has a poker face.
At what point during the run did you start to believe or have a feel that the Raptors really had a shot at winning the title?
A few days ago.
It was all the way up until the finals?
I mean, yeah, even going into, obviously, down 0-2 to Milwaukee, like, they hadn't played any of their home games at that point in the series. I didn't think they were done, but at the same time, I knew it was going to be tough. And then even once they get past Milwaukee, at that point, Durant, you're like, okay, well, he's probably coming back at some point during the series. Even if he didn't, the Warriors, assuming Klay Thompson, at that point, we didn't know he was going to get hurt. The Warriors are still the Warriors. Yeah, it wasn't until maybe after they took game one. I mean, they won game one so convincingly that I think that turned some heads. And for me, that was like, okay, well, this is, they're in this now. This is real. But I don't know. For me, being around this team as long as I have, covering them, and even this year being such a different team in such a different situation, myself, like for a lot of Raptors fans, there was just that skepticism built into my DNA where I was just expecting something to go wrong until it didn't.
What was it like being in Golden State, where that is the dynasty of dynasties in North American sports? Now, it's changed complexion because all of a sudden they're 3-2 in the finals. Well, I'm not sure a lot of people have acknowledged that. I know they're talking about injuries and all that kind of stuff, but the fact of the matter is, you went 3-2. But the confidence that they were exuding before the series began, the three of us were in awe. Like, we were throwing the clips of Clay and Steph and Draymond, and Steve Kerr's got swag. We're like, these guys actually think this is a lock. And I would assume, based on what I heard and what I've read coming out of the Bay Area, the fans, the media, they all embraced that as well. They just figured it was a foregone conclusion. It's over. Golden State's going to win another title.
I thought that.
Well, I think a lot of people did.
I remember tweeting this before the series. It was very interesting watching sort of the narrative develop with both markets. So you had the Raptors media that was like, do they have a chance here? Do they have a real chance of beating the Warriors and winning a title? And yet the Warriors media and the narrative there was, will Steph Curry finally win Finals MVP when the Warriors take care of business? It was right. It seemed inevitable for them. And even going back to the confidence that you mentioned, the Warriors were displaying that confidence. Forget before the series, even during the series, 1-1 going into Game 3, obviously a very pivotal Game 3. The Warriors are like, yeah, like Clay, he's not 100%. He could probably play, but we're looking at long-term in this series. It's going to be a long series. We're going to hold them out. They didn't seem especially concerned until very late in the series when they're like, okay, one game away from elimination. But up until that point, like, they had a Draymond predicting wins in game, whatever it was, 4, 5, 6. They come home and they celebrate and all of that. They were really confident. I mean, when you're the Golden State Warriors and the dynasty they've built, the team they've built, I think you've earned the right to be confident until you have that confidence strip.
Josh Lewenberger, TSN Raptors reporter, joining us here at Nathan Phillips Square. It is parade day in Toronto. The Toronto Raptors are making their way through the streets of Toronto on their way to City Hall. It is packed down here. The Anthony Davis trade, he's off to L.A., and they gave up a boatload. We'll see what that means for New Orleans long term. Immediately, Vegas has the Lakers as a favorite. I think they're waiting for another shoe to drop, expecting them to sign, whether it's Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker, whoever. But do you think Kawhi factors in at all with that? Like, do you think Kawhi is looking at what's going on with the Lakers and that's going to have any...
Why wouldn't he? He would look at
but
that.
But in which way, though? Like, in terms of what? Like, that we can't beat the Lakers if he goes to the Clippers? We can't beat the Lakers if he's a Raptor? I think this Raptors team can still beat that Laker team, even with Davis and LeBron. Absolutely.
Yeah, like right now, the Lakers team is three guys. It's LeBron, it's Anthony Davis, it's Kuzma. They've got to build a team around those guys. And obviously, that's a pretty good place to start. But remember, they had to build a team around LeBron. Obviously, they've got another piece now in addition to LeBron. But they have to build a team around LeBron, which is, I mean, other teams have done it well. They've had success, even with the flaws of the Cleveland Cavaliers teams. It's not that hard to build a team around the greatest, maybe the greatest player ever, and go deep into the playoffs. And the Lakers botched it hard a year ago. That was a disaster. You surround the guy with shooters. And they said, no, we don't need shooters. We're going to surround him with Lance Stephenson and JaVale McGee and all that.
So
they botched it hard once already. Now, yeah, you add Anthony Davis, but they still have to build a team there. Vegas is assuming that they add another big player and build a supporting cast around them. Maybe, but yeah, I mean, until proven otherwise, that's a team that they've got a long ways to go. I don't think it does affect Kawhi's decision, because even if the Lakers are this next great team in the West, the Warriors are not in the conversation really anymore, being atop the West, so they just replace them, essentially.
Hasn't this run for the Raptors proven that, yeah, they're star players, but it's who you build around, like the depth.
100%.
The depth, because we saw Golden State's depth not there, or struggle against the Raptors' depth. And, you know, you've got your star players, and it really says, you know, you're one injury away or something from actually exposing that depth. So, yeah, the Lakers can look great, but if they surround those three players with nobody, you know, relative terms, they don't look that good.
Strength in numbers. It was literally written across Golden State shirts, and ironically in the end, because there wasn't strength in their numbers, obviously you lose a few guys to injury, and that, I mean, that really tests your depth. And when your salary, when your payroll is so top-heavy, it's hard to afford those guys coming off the bench. Golden State, in the end, after all these years, their bench was depleted. But, yeah, you need that, and the Raptors had that. They didn't at the beginning of the playoffs. Remember when the discussion was, where is Kawhi going to get help from?
Yeah.
But all those guys, Van Vliet, Ibaka, Powell, they all stepped up. And all of this without, by the way, OG Anunoby, who figured to be a huge part of the Raptors' rotation going into the playoffs before he had the appendectomy. So, yeah, I mean, you need to build. It's not just about one guy. Even in the NBA, where one guy can take you a long way, you need the team. The Raptors, if they're able to bring everybody back, have it. The Lakers are still trying to figure it out, and I think a lot of other teams are as well. Boston, really interesting to me in the Eastern Conference, because we, like a lot of other people, were so afraid of what Boston could be a few years ago, that treasure trove of assets, and they bought that hard too. They're still young and there's talent there, but if you ask them where they wanted to be in a few years ago, they were thinking Anthony Davis and all these superstars. Now Kyrie might leave.
Well, that's why, again, and it all revolves around Kawhi Leonard. But if the Raptors can find a way to bring back Kawhi here, I think the East is wide open again. In fact, it's depleted, because who knows what's going to happen with Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris in Philly. Kyrie Irving, I think, is out of there in Boston. He's gone, so they take a step back. I don't care what people say about his selfishness and whether he's a leader.
Yep.
Fact is, you win with stars, and he is one. And Milwaukee's got free agent issues as
Chris
well.
Chris Middleton.
Yeah, and I think Brooks Lopez is a free agent. Like, they got some issues that they got to kind of wade through and figure out. So if you bring the band back in Toronto, I think you're cruising again to 55 wins. I think it's become clear that this team, being a veteran-laden team, the Raptors, they've been through the ringer. They don't need home court. They'll take home court if they can get it. But it'll be load management times a million next year. And the beauty of it is, because of the payoff, you're not going to hear anybody. Like, it's not just going to be Kawhi load management if he returns. Kyle will get nights off. Marc Gasol, if he opts into his contract, will get nights off.
Maybe don't play Danny Green 80 games again next season, because you saw how he held up in the playoffs. I think there's a lesson for load management as well. That's the other side of it. I mean, forget just the Eastern Conference, but until we see what the Lakers do with that team, the Raptors, I think, if they bring everybody back, they're the favorites again in the NBA.
Absolutely.
While they might not be getting the credit for it in Vegas. And there's your sales pitch for Kawhi as well, in addition to all those things that I mentioned earlier, is load management. And the Clippers will pitch him load management too. But even with the Warriors moving down in the West is still loaded, man. Can you miss 20 games in the Western Conference? LeBron missed 20 games in the Western Conference this year. The Lakers didn't make the playoffs. You can load manage in the East. I don't think you could load manage the same way in the West.
Josh, it should be a fun afternoon. You're doing your whole panel work with all the boys over there as well.
Got the reporters.
Yeah, we have no idea when the parade is actually going to show up. Again,
I'm telling you, dude. We're not
6 hours.
They're not going to be here for 3 hours.
Yeah. I mean, there's no rules or regulations. They can do whatever they want.
Kawhi will be a free agent. It'll be July 1st. He can make his decision on the stage.
Well, you were saying you thought they might be here by noon. There is no chance in hell that they're getting here by noon.
It's almost 11:40. There's no way. They're still down on the lake.
They're not going to be here until 2 o'clock.
Probably. I think the plan was for them to be here by 12:30. But that's another thing we were saying, Josh. Josh Lewenberg with us, Brian Hayes, Jamie Nunes, McLennan, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Kawhi Leonard is not going to drop the mic today. But I wouldn't be surprised if Masai Ujiri did. I wouldn't be surprised if Masai said, I don't care what anyone's reporting, I'm back, I'm staying here. Could you see that happening today?
He's probably got an F-bomb lined up there, too.
Do you think he'll address the report, though, in particular? Do you think he will definitively say, I'm back next year, I'm not going anywhere?
I'm not sure about that, because I'm not convinced that he didn't have something to do with the initial report. The timing of it, Woj dropping it right afterwards, I mean, it could be a play to get MLSE to pay up. Not that they're not already paying up, but I just won a championship here. Where's my ownership stake, you know? So I don't know. I think this is I think this might be a leverage play. And if he hasn't gotten what he wants already, then I'm not sure that he comes out and drops the mic here today.
Well, that's interesting, because he's got more leverage today than than ever before.
Yep.
And anyone else in the history of the franchise. He's not getting ownership stake in Toronto, I guarantee you that. But they'll pay him $10 million a year.
Yep. All day long.
I think they'd happily pay him $10 million a year. The amount of money they're making. I don't know, how much do you think he's making, Masai? 3 or 4, maybe? $5 million?
Probably closer to 5.
Yeah, he's not he's not struggling.
No, he's in a good spot. Yeah. But hey, this is when you cash in, right?
They've given
I don't blame him.
They've given him everything he's asked for. They've been very good to him and his family and his foundation. Obviously, that's been a good situation, a mutually beneficial situation where he's helped out the organization. The organization has helped him out. I've been saying this for a while. Is I would be very surprised. At some point, Masai is going to move on from here, obviously. But I would be surprised if he did that to take on the same role with a different organization. If he's moving on, it's for a completely different type of challenge. Maybe in the league office, with the NBA somehow. Maybe in the league that they're starting up in Africa. Something else entirely. And he's talked about maybe the getting out of the business at some point because the emotional side of it. When over the summer, he was talking about how that's been really tough for him. I don't see him leaving just to do the exact same thing in Washington, where, by the way, he's got to deal with maybe the worst contract in the NBA and John Wall and a situation that's not especially enviable.
Yeah, they're a mess down there in Washington. And that turned quickly.
Like, oh, yeah.
Not long ago, they were pushing the Raptors around, and they were a legitimate top 4 or 5 team in the NBA.
It was the same sort of situation. High-priced all-star backcourt.
Yeah.
Same kind of situation.
Josh, enjoy it today. Thank you for this, buddy.
All right, guys.
There's Josh Leuenberger, TSN Raptors reporter, live from Nathan Phillips Square in downtown Toronto. The weather is beautiful downtown, and the city is absolutely on fire. People are buzzing down here.
Thankfully, and my prayers have been answered. They've been told to get off the arches,
yes.
And they did.
Well, you
but you know someone else is going back up.
There are 3 arches down here at Nathan Phillips Square, and some guys have been climbing up top of them all morning.
But
the best part about this is I saw some guy, you talk about stones and the audacity on this guy. He climbs up, and then all of a sudden there's people climbing behind him, and he starts yelling at him, okay, I'm ready to go down. Let's go. And they look back, they go, screw you, dude.
Yeah,
I just got up here. Like, as if it's his call when people are supposed to come up or down. They're like, you can sit up here all night until I'm ready to leave.
I'm glad they announced that the team is not showing up unless, like, did you hear? We were on air, but they announced it saying, do not ruin this for the players. The players are not going to come on stage until you guys are down.
Well,
so you need this. This is a safety hazard. Like,
no kidding.
You know. But I'm glad, like, they're down, cooler heads prevailed.
We're all good. We're live at Nathan Phillips Square, a special live edition of Overdrive with Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan at City Hall. Wait for the Raptors to show up. When they get on stage, live, commercial-free, uninterrupted coverage of everything that is said up on the championship stage. We are live downtown Toronto. Coverage continues on TSN 1050.
This is poetic. You just got to watch it happen.
The Toronto Raptors are the 2019 NBA champions.
The 6-6.
Canada, we brought it home, baby. We brought it home.
Kyle Lowry with the ring.
It's crazy. It's crazy right now.
Kawhi Leonard bringing a chip to the city.
Trying to get that Larry O.B. over there.
You heard it all on TSN 1050. The NBA champion Raptors live here.
How sweet it is.
Live from Nathan Phillips Square, this is TSN 1050's live coverage of the Raptors championship celebration.
It happened! It's real! It's real!
Yeah. I know we just signed a deal, but I need my advance on the next one, too. They know I'm going to be around.
We are live from City Hall, downtown Toronto, a special championship parade edition of Overdrive. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan.
We went.
We went. Brought to you in part by Kelsey and Associates. The Brett Hall stuff. We should probably revisit that in a moment. We got to play the Corey Crawford stuff, too, because, you know, we're live at the parade, and they're way behind schedule. I don't think the
when
players...
When you say way, you're talking multiple hours behind schedule.
Well, I think they... You know, about 20 minutes ago, they're just kind of passing Lakeshore and Bathurst. So they got to get all the way to university.
But they weren't going to gun it. Like, nobody, whoever thought that they were going to be here by 12:30 obviously didn't watch any parade routes.
Yeah.
Like, any previous parade. Like, there's no chance.
It took them an hour to get 0.2 kilometers out of the exhibition place.
But they're not going to, like, the guy driving the floats aren't going to, all right, let's pick this up. Let's go here.
Yeah, they don't care.
It's everyone's,
hey, listen,
soaking,
man,
it up.
If you're on one of those parade floats, take advantage.
Yeah.
Because you have a whole city absolutely going crazy for you. And you don't know when you're ever going to get back up there.
Well, no.
My only regret is I couldn't get on one of those parades.
Yeah. I mean, I often say, had I won a championship, I probably would have scared myself. Like, I don't know where I would have ended up or how this would have, that transaction would have gone down, because I would have been Brett Hull.
But you would have been on the parade float.
Yeah.
I think you'd have enough sensibility to be like, yeah, I got to be on one of the parade floats.
I feel like there will be a behind-the-scenes story of, like, yeah, Fred Van Fleet barely made the parade. You know what I mean? Like, they couldn't find him, or, you know, like.
There were a number of guys who came back on Saturday night, and then there were a number of them that decided to stick around.
Well, that's a veteran move. You stay in Vegas another night.
But I heard that they may have flown to, like, L.A. for the night or something. I mean, there's a lot of different reports out there. Did they stay in Vegas? Did they go to L.A.? Regardless, they're all here and accounted for. So they flew home yesterday, and Kawhi and Lowry and Masai and Serge Ibaka, they're all accounted for, and they're all in a championship parade making their way downtown.
Yeah.
And making their way to the stage. It is so loud down here, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah. It's almost, the crowd is buzzing so much in anticipation. It's just so loud.
I believe we have Lucas Meyer from News Talk 1010 who's on one of the player buses or player parade floats. Lucas, can you set the scene? Where are you guys now?
Well, we actually just passed Bassett Street. You know, you're supposed to get to Nathan Phillips Square by 12:30, but there is another scheduled stop around Scotiabank Arena, so we haven't even really gone close to that area as we just passed Bathurst, and I can't even describe it, you know, being on the last bus. As you mentioned, Brian, I'm on the last bus, bus 5, so that's with Marc Gasol, Jeremy Lin, Eric Moreland, and Jordan Lloyd. I just spoke to Lin, and he said that it's an absolutely unbelievable feeling. Every next foot that you travel, there's more cheers and more screams and people throwing up shirts and hats to be autographed and players pouring champagne from the bus up top to people down below. It's a truly extraordinary and celebratory atmosphere.
Are you seeing any of the players on any of the floats? Are they getting off the float? Are they walking over and meeting with people? Or is everyone just like, it's too crazy out there?
From my vantage point, everyone has stayed on the buses because a lot of people are walking along the buses. So the idea of getting off and moving around, I think, would just be too much. There were a number of stoppages back around the exhibition grounds. But pretty much once we got past the arches and onto Lakeshore, we've been moving pretty steadily with not too many actual stoppages. So I think just because of the tons and tons of people that are walking literally right next to the bus, because people are throwing up, you know, things to sign and people are sending T-shirts and spraying people with champagne bottles. Everyone is staying on the buses as it moves along Lakeshore.
Well, enjoy yourself on the parade float. I'm sure we'll catch up again in the next hour or so. Thank you, Lucas.
Thanks, guys.
There's Lucas Meyer from News Talk 1010, who is on Marc Gasol, Jeremy Lin, Eric Moreland's parade float. And they're right at the back of the bus, literally, and cruising down the lakeshore. They just passed Lakeshore and Bathurst, but what he said that was interesting to me,
a scheduled stop.
A scheduled stop at Scotiabank. So there must be just a million people down Bremner.
And you know that that's an hour stop.
Oh, yeah, because it's just like at the lakeshore, at the exhibition stadium.
Yeah.
They couldn't get through the crowds because people are like, I've been here all day. I'm not moving until I see them.
Wow.
And if there's a ton of people lined up at Scotiabank, they're all going to be stopped. There's a bunch of buses, a huge convoy. And, again, they're not even close to the stage. And once they get here, that's when the real party begins, when they get up on the mic.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a few Hullies. If you're sitting on a bus with champagne and booze and everything, and you're trapped.
And the more time you have, right?
I was just going to say, trapped is the wrong word, but you're moving at a snail's pace. What are you going to do? You're going to drink. You're going to enjoy yourself. These guys, potentially could be puddles by the time they arrive.
Oh, yeah.
I want it. I want to see it.
I want to see it, too. That there's no judgment here
we
whatsoever.
Went.
You are going to see some Crawford slash Jonathan Quick slash Brett Hull.
Yeah, and we're going to replay a couple of those
as well.
Yeah,
we'll have to get into those later.
We will recapture everything that Brett Hull represented in St. Louis.
I just sent him a text because during the playoffs, I mean, you guys know I played with him, so I was texting with him, saying, hey, we got to get you on the show one of the days. Absolutely, no problem. I just sent him a text. It just said delivered. Like, there, I think his phone is still on.
You're not going to see him for weeks. I'll bet you he lost his phone.
Exactly.
I would just assume someone in the state of Missouri has Brett Hull's phone.
Yeah.
And it'll dawn on him in about a week and a half that he lost his phone.
He may get back to me in about a week and a half, too. So we're eventually going to have Brett Hull on.
At some point, we will get Brett Hull on. So we'll replay the Brett Hull audio just to set the tone of what we're hoping to see and hear this afternoon. The Corey Crawford audio. There's a lot of it. And, again, we're going to have a bunch of people join us around the table. We are live at Nathan Phillips Square, live coverage of the 2019 Raptors Championship Parade, brought to you in part by Peak Health Ontario. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We're here all afternoon. And live coverage once the team finally gets up on the stage, uninterrupted, commercial-free. Live from downtown Toronto at City Hall, this is a special championship edition of Overdrive on TSN Radio.
Your Toronto Raptors are now world champions. And you've got a lot to say about it.
I have a song.
Okay. It's 3:32 a.m. Let's go. Let's hear it.
Kawhi me over the ocean. Kawhi me over the sea. Kawhi me the NBA championship. So bring back my Kawhi to me.
On TSN 1050, the NBA champion Raptors live here.
He's that old.